Some of you might have seen this before, but this is a for those English students amongst you. You have to try and punctuate this statement. And what do you reckon? Hang on now, wait. Easy. Ladies, don't come and beat me up, please. Right, let's go. So what the... So let's do what... What was the first... What the men's response, or is it the ladies' response?
A woman without her man is nothing.
So this is... There's no punctuation in it, see? So you read it as it is. So let's do the next bit. Yeah, you've had a go? So you can have it this way. Woman without a man is nothing. Yeah? How does that make you feel? No? You don't like that one? That's what all the men wrote, see? That's how the men wrote it. Let's see how the women wrote it.
No, it should be women without
her, man is nothing. Same sentence, punctuated two different ways, have two different meanings completely. So there we go. Woman, without her, man is nothing. How about that? Just a bit of fun, yeah? Just how we can see things, the same thing differently, yeah? Okay. I'm going to read a big reading. So hang in again. Ephesians 5. I'm just going to try and a little bit of 6 as well. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I am not talking about this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Just the last little bit. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So, that's a promise there. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Long reading. I think my title would be A Man. And it goes back to... A few weeks, over the last 3 or 4 weeks probably, when Viv got us to the men to come to the back there and the ladies to the front, and we were to pray for them and say something for them. And one of the things I had said to a lot of the men that came out is, be a man. You know, be a man. In the situation you find yourself, be a man. And afterwards I thought, well, I suppose they could take that to mean a lot of things, to be a man. And then we went to a men's breakfast and we had a talk about, men and family relationships and things like that. So I thought I'll pick up on what I said, be a man, and come and just share a few thoughts on be a man. And so here's a few thoughts on it, hey? What makes a man? And perhaps some of you ladies here are thinking, oh no, you know, this is, I can go to sleep on this one, but what makes a man? And as thinking of this, I thought, I remember going back, to when I was younger and, just hanging around in the street where I lived, and some of the boys who were perhaps, 15, they used to get pints of water out to practice drinking. So that when they hit the right age, they could drink a pint or pints, so they could see how many pints. Because it was always, the more pints you could drink, the more of a man you were, see? So that was the mentality. So some people would have this kind of mentality. If I can drink so many pints, wow, what a man I am. And when I say pints, I'm talking not pints of water, pints of beer. It's all about getting drunk and holding your beer. And if you can hold your beer, you're a man. But the truth is, none of them hold the beer. and this is an image that a lot of young people, a lot of young men, and drastically now, the girls are latching on to try and be like the boys, and they want to see if they can hold their beer. But really, this is an image that men, young men, often think. Being a man is about seeing how much beer you can get drunk. And, you know, some of it is because of the law. The law doesn't let you drink until a certain age. So obviously, when you hit that age, to drink must be, what makes you a man. So, you know, you can see the sort of logic in it. And the other day, now, don't ask what I was watching, but, well, you can ask, actually, but I was watching telly with my children, and well, Elizabeth, me and Elizabeth were watching his program, see, together. And while watching it, this young man, who I don't know what age he is, but he must be about 18, I guess. He sleeps with his girlfriend, has sex with his girlfriend. And he comes into his friend and big sort of, well, I don't know, he just walks into his friend and he says, I'm a man now. And that's his statement, I'm a man because I've had sex with my girlfriend. So that's another image for men, is perhaps to see either how soon you can sleep with your girlfriend or a girl to make you a man, or perhaps how many girls you can sleep with to make you a man. And this is what, you know, a lot of young people around will think being a man is. You know, getting drunk, perhaps, seeing how many girls they can sleep with. It is all the image that is portrayed out there. And so what perhaps is not allowed until a certain age then becomes a natural thing to prove that you are a man. And if the more you can do it, obviously, the more the man you are. Because obviously, that's the thinking, you know, maybe one pint, I'm just about a man, but hey, if I can drink 10 pints, I'm a real man. And so this can be some of the imagery and thinking, and we can sort of sit here and we can sort of laugh at it, but it's going on all around us. This is what the sort of world thinks is all about becoming a man, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. You might think of other things, imagery of what is it to be a man. But when you look around society, this is the collapsing society because a lot of men don't know how to be men. And here I am standing up here trying to tell you, or just talk about what being a man is. And you think, well, it's probably the complete opposite image of what they'd think a man was. You know, a leader in a church, you know, a vicar, a priest, whatever you want to call them, would be the sort of last image of a man there is, isn't it? You know, from a worldly point of view, because, hey, I'm not going out getting drunk all the time and I'm not sleeping around. Well, you're hoping that, aren't you? And that, as one yes anyway. And that's what you kind of would hope. But from a worldly point of view, it's not the image of a man. So they think, yes, I don't want to go and talk to him about a man because I don't think of him as a man. You know, someone who's a man is this guy out here who's like, lives the wild life. And so who am I to share about these things? And so this is the image often within the around and of the church. And as I thought a bit more on all this topic, being a man, I thought about perhaps in the past times and when you had armies that fought face to face and you got a big army together. And, you know, you had soldiers that had to stand off and stand up line to line against each other and fight physically, you know, hand to hand. It's probably in the same in situations now. And I would think that in that front line of soldiers, that whoever was the sort of general would put what we call a sort of tough guy, someone who's going to stay there for the whole time and fight. He's not going to run. But they would want to be interspersed along there because, see, what happens is one strong guy would bring confidence to those around him. So when you would stand up to face the enemy, most people would be scared. You know, you'd be fearful or perhaps very excited, adrenaline going, covering over it. But what would happen is if your side all started to run, everyone would run because the fear would kick through and you'd all run away and you'd all be, you know, you'd all Every man for himself is the saying, and they'd all leg it as quick as you could and hope for the best. And that meant usually, 9 times out of 10, your battle was lost because you ran and put your back to the enemy and they chased you and clubbed you down. I can think of a battle where it didn't work quite like that. That was a battle of Hastings. But on the whole, you would want some valiant fighters interspersed with the rest of the men to bring courage and strength. And you would want to be near someone. You think, oh yeah, he won't give up. I'll be next to him. And it would encourage you to go strong. So what do I take from that? You might wonder what I'm trying to get to. But to be able to stand strong in the face of difficulty is what I'm trying to get to in this. And not necessarily physical fighting. I'm talking about someone who has his vision, his goal ahead of him, and will stand there come what may. So it's standing firm is what you'd want. And I think that would be seen as a good thing in a man, someone who could stand firm and not turn and run and face up to the situation. And so when you were in an army, you'd want someone, people who could stand and face this, whatever the scenario was, and hold firm in that scenario. So his courage and being able to stand firm. And I want to take it away from the battle scene, because I'm not trying to say, you know, men just want to go out and fight, but the ability to stand strong in a difficult situation is important for a man. Wherever we find ourselves. And so we're not necessarily in this, well, we are, we know we're in a spiritual battle, but we find ourselves in various places. We might find ourselves in offices. We might find ourselves in a manual job, men. Although you ladies take this, because I'm talking about standing firm and courage. And you'll find that this is for both men and women. But I'm just picking up for the men, really. But to stand firm is firm for women as well. So it's applicable. But there will be some things in here. So wherever we find ourselves in our role, we have to find ourselves standing firm for, let's just say, for whatever at the moment, home life. And I'm going to just talk a little bit about Viv and myself here. Now then, we swapped roles. So a lot of you might not know this. So going back about, 15 years ago, Viv worked up in the city in an office. And I used to, you know, work out doing trees and gardens and stuff like that. And when the children came along, I gave up my work and became a house husband. And what a manly role, huh? And I was a mum, yeah, in that sense. But I still had to be a man in my woman's role, in that position I found myself. I still had to be a man in that role. And it didn't mean, you know, and this is where you still have to be that man in that role. And what does that mean for me? Well, I was a husband in that role as well. And Viv, she was the wife, but she was working. But within those roles, we had to still be man and woman. And in that role, I always think, you know, if we had been the other way around, I still think Viv did more with the kids than I would have done. But I don't know, because she still did as much as she could when she could with the children. So she would, you know, do what she could. She would get along to school activities when she could. She would see the children to bed. Whatever she could do, she did. And I think to myself, do you know, if that was me, I could imagine myself working my day at work, coming home. You can see it. I know what you're thinking. And you're right, you know, that's how I see it. There you are, slumped there, having a little snooze. And then, I've done my bit, you know. And that's how I could see it. But, we can't compare. But I always just thought Viv did everything that she could, you know, in that role as mum. She was still mum in that role. And I had to be the man in that role. And it doesn't stop us being men in that role because, I still had to be a man. And in all the roles I had to do, and I found it hard sometimes because, you know what, I used to take my children to mums and toddlers. And I didn't really enjoy it at all. I used to, because sometimes you kind of sit, often as men do, they kind of sort of isolate themselves a little bit, and I did. And now and again I might sit with some of the ladies, but I couldn't get into some of the conversation because if they talked shopping and hairdressers, I couldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. But I still took the children there because I had that role to fulfill. But where am I going with this? In all that role, I had my children and my wife were my part of my life, were my responsibility, yeah? And in all that role that I find myself in, I had to put my wife and children right at the top there. So my responsibility, and when you read through that reading, that big, massive, long reading, because my wife and my children are what God has given me, and that's my role I find myself in. And so for being a man is to stand and look after his wife and children. And that's number one priority. And in all those situations I could find myself in, perhaps mums and toddlers or getting involved in school, you know, one could easily, well, I don't know if it could easily, but could chase after other people. Whatever, think the scenarios. But my priority has to be wife and children in those scenarios. And that's being a man. That's what we call to. It wouldn't be chasing after other ladies or neglecting, you know, completely the children. Whatever. That is my priority. Because when we just read it there, a man has to look after his family. And so whatever we come to do, whatever role we find ourselves, we have to remember those, what God has given us, and those are our priorities. And so even though we swapped our roles around, you know, I had to still put my wife and my children first. And Viv will say, I think, speak for her. No, I'm trying to think of the words. She would say that in her life, she has supported me, and I'm trying to say it for her, would not want to put me down in front of people. Do you see that? She could easily, in public, in front of other people, she could, you know, she could make negative comments about me, which would be disrespect. She wouldn't disrespect me, should we say it like that. And so I'm putting those words into her mouth for her. I could get her up to come and say it. But I think that is true of her. She would try and respect me in all situations. It doesn't mean that we would have disagreements because how are we doing? We're all right. One day, this is a recent one. It's not a big disagreement, but we were driving. I think we were driving to church. And Elizabeth was getting a bit sort of she was getting a bit stroppy. Something with, not with me, but with one of the boys. And bossy, let's just say bossy. And I kind of snapped at her and said, right, Elizabeth, you're not going out for a month. Something like that. It was something like that. And that was my response, see. And Viv said, you can't say that. You haven't, that's too much. You haven't really given any warning. You haven't, it's just not right. You can't do that. You know, that's just not fair. I don't know how she said it, but you know, she said it. And, it was right. See, I had to eat humble pie. It was true. Cause it was too much too quick. You know, I sort of, it was an over the reaction and I had to sort of, rein in my, righteous judgment. And, I don't know what happened. Probably just gave her a warning instead because that was right. So we're there to support each other, to help each other. And that's, you know, our role is to support and help each other. And as I thought through all this, even though I have a selfish nature, I now have to share my life and consider others, my wife, children, in all that I do, because that is the role I am in. And that is my man part. And as I thought about men and different roles and that, I thought of Joseph, two sort of very obvious characters, really. And I thought of the position he found himself in. And he finds himself with this Potiphar, he's like a slave, and he has this boss above him. And his wife, Potiphar's wife, fancies him and says, come to bed. And what does he have to do? He does what we in the world would think isn't manly, because they would think if they made a film, he would jump into bed. But the manly thing was he respected his boss and he respected God's law that said not to. And he ran away. And what did it lead him to? He ended up in prison for it. And you might think, he could have thought, wait a minute, I listened, I did what God would want me to do. I respected my boss. I did everything right. I should have done the worldly man thing. But now I've ended up in prison. But in prison, that man, he stays a man. He's honest. He does what he has to do. He has respect for those around him. He ends up running the prison. You know, everything just, he does what he has to do. Eventually ends up running the country. But he's just, he does this man thing, honest, trustworthy, standing firm. Another character, Daniel. Daniel, taken as a slave. He's got no place to be a man. He's a slave. Oh, and what's worse, Daniel may have been, for all we know, he doesn't say, but he could have been a eunuch. That really isn't good for being a man. And, he had every reason not to be a man. But he stands firm for God's ways and doesn't just do what everyone else does. He has to stand for what he knows is right in this situation. And he had no place. In some ways, he could have said, you know what? I'm here a slave. I've had all this done to me. I'll just give up on it. But he doesn't. He thinks, it was my people that let God down. That's why I'm a slave. And I stand firm for God's ways. And you know, when they tried to find fault in his character, Daniel, they couldn't find fault in his character. So being a man is about having a good character. It is about character. It's about having a good character, being a true man. It's about being honest, truthful, and trustworthy. You know, these are some of the things that we have to be. And I sometimes think in all this, your character is what it should be looked at, because, you know, sometimes the ladies like a sort of a bit of a wild man, and they kind of get attracted to that wild person. And I do think they think that they're going to change his character. But it's his character that just carries on running through. So when they think, Yeah, he's a bit of a rogue, but he'll be sound with me. The rogue carries on through. And when they find out he's lied to them and he's run off with somebody else, that character is what was always there, and it just carried on through. And it wasn't a good character. And that's the character and nature that what makes a man a true man. And man also finds, I've sort of talked a bit about this. Man finds himself in a position of head of a household. It's a position of responsibility, and it should be seen as a position. It should not. It shouldn't be seen. When men see themselves, it says in the Bible, I'm head of the house. I can throw my weight around. Wife, get my slippers for me. It's not about that. It's about responsibility. It's about support. And it's about bringing stability and strength to a family. That's how I would say, we should be there to bring support and stability. Wife and children should be stronger and more confident for it. You know, my role as a man should help my wife and children to grow in confidence, to grow in abilities, to have stability, to have strength. That's what I should be there for. We're there to support and encourage. We're not there to boss around and tell what to do. Our role is to support and encourage. The family should be confident and flourish. My family, if I'm doing my man part, they should be confident and flourish. That's what my children should do. That's what they should do. You know, Adam was the first man, and he failed. He didn't stand strong. He just failed. But Christ is the second Adam. He's the second true man, and he succeeded. And that reading there is imitators of God, imitators of Christ. And that is the role. And as Christ came to, it says it in the reading that we had, he came to live, he came to die, he came to rescue. And that's the role of man, is to lay his life down for his family, for his wife, for his God, for his church. You know, that is role of man, and that's what makes man. It's not a position of, ooh, I'm in charge. It's a position that you might actually think, ooh, do I want to do that? You know, do I want to be responsible? Do I want to look after these? Do I want to lay my life down for them? Because you're giving your life to your family, you're giving your life to God. And that is the role of the true man. So when we read through that and you see imitators of Christ, that's what we should be. And it's applicable to the ladies, because we are all to be imitators of Christ. We lay ourselves down for each other, and we look after each other, and we support each other within the family, which is this here, our church family. But in our and in our little individual families, we look after each other. And I think I'd just like to play one song to finish with. It talks about standing firm like men. And, that's a place we need to have good character and be able to stand firm and have our goals in sight and not forget what we're all about. That we are, if we're in whatever role we find ourselves in, we are there to support and look after each other and not boss each other around.